The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Jesus loves parties, and he hopes that we would love his parties too. In fact, St. John's gospel is full of parties. There's a wedding, a healing at the pool, multiplying of fish and bread for the crowds, the Feast of Booths in Jerusalem, making Lazarus alive again, and then a dinner for Jesus and Lazarus and all his friends. With him, there's always something to look forward to, a celebration, a feast, a get-together, or a bash Jesus loves a good party. And today we are lucky enough to have been invited to one of those big Jesus parties. There are crowds and cheering and flags, streamers and animals and friends, and of course the star of the party, Jesus. The one everybody's been waiting for is finally here. Everybody, I mean the whole city, everyone who is in from out of town for Passover, they're all there to lay their eyes on him. There are ladies on the tip of their toes, kids on the back of dads. There are teenagers elbowing their way through a crowd all the way to the front, all to see him coming into town. It's the kind of crowd you could lose a kid in if you're not careful. The whole town, men, women, young, old, rich, poor, from all over, packed. They're there to see him riding in on a little donkey, and the palms welcome Jesus into the holy city. As he rode in, we shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Joy, praise, adoration, all for him." I want that too. I want a forever-lasting feast, celebration, get together with all my friends, Jesus friends, with Jesus as the host in his house. But here's the thing to remember about a Jesus party. It's all about him, but you get all the gifts. So in a way, in a very, very special way, it's about you, too. He comes into Jerusalem, the shouts are for him, the palms are for him, but he comes into Jerusalem for you and for me, to give us the most precious gift we have ever been gifted. If you have ever seen an icon of a martyred saint, you might have noticed that their hands are often full. Usually, one hand is holding the instrument with which they were tortured and killed. Stones, spears, arrows, swords, lions, daggers, millstones, axes, or. This hand reminds us of what they endured, of what they went through in the name of Christ, preferring to hold him close than to cast him out. As you and I promised in our confirmations, we intend to live according to the word of God in faith, word, and deed, and to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death, and to continue steadfast in his confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than to fall away from it. In a week's time, you'll hear that again at the Easter Vigil. And it's what the martyrs promised too. But in their other hand is a palm branch. A palm is a sign of celebration, and what's a dead man got to celebrate? Victory. The martyrs wave their palms, and we wave ours because we welcome the one who has saved us from death, from ills, from sin, from Satan, and from ourselves. In this holiest of weeks, Jesus will be anointed for death on Wednesday, betrayed on Thursday, tortured, beaten, stripped, and killed on Friday, in the tomb by Saturday. Come and see. But by Sunday, he'll be raised to life. The whips that slashed him and the cross that killed him and the tomb that shut him in are not going to be the final story. The palms are the final story. The palms mean that the party is back. They shout that death does not have the last word, that Jesus will burst out of the tomb victoriously, and death itself dies. Once he is up and out of the tomb, he will visit his disciples, talk to them. He will walk with them and cheer up his saddened friends. He will eat with them, even make breakfast on the beach with them. And all of that will point to our last party in heaven. Because in his great revelation, John sees a great gathering of people before the throne of the Lamb, and they too, like us today, hold palms in their hands. And like us again, they shout praises to Jesus. It's his party, and it's our party. In that never-ending celebration, the evangelist writes that there's no more hunger or thirst or scorching heat or tears, for it's the feast of the Lamb, the feast of feasts. That day will come, but that day is also today. You're here with palms, praising the Lamb who comes for you, who sits on the altar, quenching your thirst and satiating your hunger and wiping all your tears away. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And that's the greatest thing about it. Jesus' party. It's his party, but you get the gifts today. And then more. Something to look forward to. Jesus is most happy when you rejoice and live in the life he gifts to you, here today and in eternity to come, letting you be happy too. In the holy name of Jesus, Amen. Amen.